If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I am here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
And we are joined today with the promised Justin Dietrich from Dietrich and Sons and from the Rail Splitter Wood Shop and from the Maker Camp Timber Frame.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Justin, good.
We're great, man. All right, Dev, what do you got for us today?
If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. I like that one because it's a little different than March to the Beat of Your Own Drum. Because March to the Beat of Your Own Drum means, March, you know, we all know what it means, but it's like saying you're alone in whatever weird thing you like, which isn't necessarily true, especially nowadays, for good or bad, right?
Yeah, I think, read it one more time, or...
Yeah, sure. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, I like that part, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. So if a man does not keep pace with his companions, so if he's falling behind, that doesn't necessarily mean, obviously, it doesn't mean you're worthless or you're not capable. You just have to find your niche.
Yeah, you're walking to your own pace. I like that. I think that's important too, because I as makers, we are often, especially in this day and age, comparing ourselves to everyone around us because all that information is flowing so easily with social media. You know, so you're always constantly comparing with the people around you what you're doing, and that's a hard thing to do, and it can be demoralizing because everybody only puts up their best stuff. You know, you don't see the mistakes and the stuff that people didn't like. Everyone's only seeing their best stuff. So the same thing that I put out is these are some of the cool, edited photos of process pictures. They're still edited photos, and I'm still cropping them really nicely, and I'm clearing my shop out so you don't see all the shit everywhere, and I'm putting up what I want people to see, even if it's like process stuff.
What do you think about that, Justin?
I really like the comment or the quote, and I agree with both of you that the idea, kind of like Dustin, what you hit on with social media and Instagram, and you can jump on today, like, you know, my Instagram feed always look, you know, it's following 10 to 15 like timber framing guys that are way better than me.
Right.
And so for me, now the interesting thing is, for me, they're creating inspiration for something that I want to be, but at the same time, they are all really good, very humble people. And if you go talk to them, you know, they'll say, oh, well, you know, I'm just doing my thing or, you know, and so I think that eliminates, I can't remember exactly what you said, Dustin, but you were talking about kind of like feeling intimidated or demoralizing. And so I think that kind of knocks some of that off, because I think anybody that has been around long enough knows, like, you know, how many errors you've made. What's the old famous quote? Like, the master has failed as many times as the apprentice has ever even tried or started or something along those lines.
Right. Right, exactly. So
I made that comment to one of my students yesterday. I have a student in one of my classes, in my intro class. He's a freshman. You can tell he's probably never done any woodworking in his life. And he's struggled, you know, and he's made a lot of mistakes. And a lot of my students are, some of them are starting their third project of the semester right now. He's still trying to finish his first. And I said something to him the other day. I said, I asked him, how many mistakes have you made on this project this semester? And he's like, I don't know, like five or six. And I go, I've made all of those same mistakes 50 times each. I'm like, I've made all of the mistakes that you have made, you know, many, many more times than you. And so it's just about, you know, getting back up, dusting yourself off and getting back up and full steam ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree 100%. And I think that's where so many people don't have that opportunity to talk to people who are like-minded all that often, because I think a lot of us as makers are often just in our shops making. You know, making is a fairly solitary thing unless you're in a class where you're learning it, which is why classes are so valuable and why you and me as teachers see that. You know, we can actively talk and walk someone through their mistakes and push them forward and say, you know, we've done these things before. But if you don't have that, if you just have your shop and you're making something, and then you're putting it out there, but you're just seeing what other people are putting out there. You don't get that chance to talk with other people who are like-minded. Then you don't get that, the reality of that situation that everyone is making something and making mistakes, but we're only seeing the really nice finished products online.
Right.
Or you get like a jump from the beginning to the end, you know, so you see that ending and you're like, oh man, I wish I could have gotten to that ending, you know, but there are so many mistakes in between.
So where in the world could you meet up with a bunch of like-minded people and discuss these things and learn from others?
Wow, perfect segue.
There are no places of such things. So obviously we were all at Maker Camp two weekends ago up in East Durham at the Blackthorn Resort. Justin, I asked Devin a question last week, and Devin, do you want to ask the question or do you want me to ask it of Justin?
You can ask it again.
All right. So I wanted him to think about his the way in his mind, his expectations of the event and what it was going to be like before he went to it. Now, that's a little bit different for you because you were at the 2019 event and then you did the virtual event last year, and then you were, you know, hosting this part of the Timberland part of the event this year. But do you remember that, like, thinking about going before you went the first time, what your expectations were, and were they like, did they live up to your expectations, or do you remember that?
So 2019, yeah, I would say, but I would even say that I kind of had an unfair advantage because I had been to Blackthorn once before. And also I'd been to a class at Jimmy DiResta's. So, you know, I knew the area, and several people that were at that class were going to be at Maker Camp in 2019. And so, you know, I kind of already had like a certain level of comfort with some people that were there. I would say, though, I would even go as far to say, even after 2019, and knowing that, wow, you know, this is a really kind of a cool thing that is getting started here, and then doing the virtual thing last year, I would say that 2021 exceeded my expectations of what I thought this was going to be. Mm-hmm. I had some worry that just because of COVID and everything going on, that 3 months ago I was worried that they were even going to get to have the event. But then as things kind of started looking like, yeah, this is going to happen, then I was kind of worried, like, well, what type of a turnout is it going to be? Is it still going to be, really low numbers, mm-hmm. just because people don't want to travel or timing or whatever? And in my mind, with all of those things that could deter it, I thought it went as well as it could have. What did you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it far exceeded my expectations. I had only been up to Blackthorn for the few hours that, you know, I went in the summer for the Timberland to meet up with you and hang out for a little bit and work a little bit of the mortise and tenons. But other than that, it was I had like a slight and like I was not hesitant, but I I guess in my mind there was some worry that it had gotten a lot bigger since the first time, and so we were going to miss out on that kind of smaller, more personal feel to the event that, like, intimate Jimmy described. Setting. Yeah, yeah. That it was going to feel less intimate and more, you know, just more like any other big event. So, but I think even with the amount of people that were there, I didn't feel that way at all. And it still felt really small, even with maybe there were 500 people or something, but it didn't feel right. Like that.
Or it would, or everyone you talk to would be like, oh, so much better in 2019.
You really missed
it, man. But none of that happened, and it wasn't. And my worry was that it would be like an amusement park style thing where you're always like trying to look over rows and rows of people, or like a packed bar where you can never get a drink. You're like five people back, and you're like, whatever. I can't even see. But it wasn't. It was great. It was nice, small groups around all the events. It was awesome, and you could talk to anyone. It was fantastic.
Yeah. What for you, Justin, as one of the kind of, I guess, presenters, you know, leading the Timber in, you had obviously the majority of Friday and Saturday there, you know, working on that. Do you still feel like you got enough like ability and time to move around and see people and talk to people and kind of do the other stuff that the event, you know, had for those of us who weren't there in a demo?
Yeah, like I said, we woke up Friday morning and Thursday afternoon, we started kind of like doing our inventory on our timbers and double checking everything that we had done right over the summer. And so then Friday morning, it was like dry fit day and, you know, start getting peg holes drilled out and, you know, kind of finalizing. Mm-hmm. Remember, we had to set those steel brackets that Chris Zepp made, you know, going through doing all that type of stuff. Yep. So then that Friday was probably like my, I think, probably most mentally stressful day. Just because it was like, okay, this is pretty much it. Like, everything is getting prepped to go together. You're like, today you're going to know if we've got big mistakes or if something's not jiving or whatever. And really, by the end of Friday, I started to feel pretty good. And then once we kind of got a good start Saturday morning and we kind of got that first bent together, it was like, okay, now we got this. You know, now people can see it. And so now we can start setting this group off over here and this group off over here. And it really, once we kind of got into a rhythm, it was pretty fun.
Yeah. And I think the nice thing about one of the benefits of having the timber in is that there were a bunch of guys who then kind of knew each other and had already worked together. And although I was only there for a couple hours, I still kind of knew some of those guys and, you know, could kind of just keep working. It wasn't like trying to just put a bunch of people who'd never met together and get them working as a group to get this thing done in time. And I did have that feeling at one point in the morning. I was like, man, that's a lot of work to do all in this remaining time on Saturday. I felt like, you know, it went up once, like you said, once we got that first bent going, and then kind of everyone knew what to expect, and you had people, everyone was kind of independently working, and obviously everyone was coming back to you for the final questions. If you had something we weren't sure about, we'd ask you, but otherwise you had groups of people who were working together who knew what the steps were on their own. They could kind of push forward. I think that was really important to have that relationship built up over those couple days from the summer timber in, and then, you know, transferred over to this day. Because I think if we had started, I think the potential was there that in the morning on Saturday, seeing the work that had been done, I'd never built any timber frame structure, so I didn't know how long it should take. But, you know, my mind was like, all right, we got everything already cut and pretty much fit up, so it should go pretty quick. And then it was taking a little longer because there's all these little final details and cuts and things you got to make, and then doing all the draw boring, holing, and all that. And I don't think it took longer than I expected, but when we finished it from the time the, like, first bent went up to the whole thing being finished, it went really fast in my mind. Like, I know that was still 5 or 6 hours that it took, but everything kind of flowed really easily at that point.
Yeah. And I something else you hit on that I also picked up on when we were out there was kind of the camaraderie that we had built up from the Timber Inn in July. Like, that was, I definitely felt like the people that had come out to the frame in July and done that work over those few days, like, we had, in my opinion, that was a really fun, like, few days worth of work. Like, that was a fun group of people, and it was a fun weekend, and that gave us time to kind of, you know, get to know everybody. And like I had said, I had liked the Timber Inn because it literally was the only thing to do at the Blackthorn that weekend. So if you were there, you were there for the Timber Inn. You know, it wasn't like the Maker Camp where, oh yeah, I'll come over and I'll you know, help out with a mortise or a tenon for half an hour. I'll, you know, drive a peg or something like that, and then I'm going to leave. It was like, no, it was like this dedicated thing to that. And then, so that gave us a chance to really focus on that work. And then from there, come back and put it together. It definitely, you know, and there was that group of people that wanted, I had a lot of people tell me, like, I wasn't going to miss this. They were like, I was coming back to see this thing get put up because they had a hand in it, you know. And I think that's a pretty special moment and a pretty special feeling, you know, for people to have that type of an attachment to, you know, a small structure pavilion that we put up in East Durham, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you said, there was kind of that feeling of, I guess, ownership, you know, that we all had a hand in putting this thing together. And at least I know for myself, and I think Devin as well, because he's interested in timber framing, we knew coming up to the Maker Camp that we were going to be there helping all day. Like, you know, obviously if it was going to take all day, all 3 days, then we would have probably popped off and done a few things here or there. But because the whole plan was to do the main raising all on Saturday, get everything, you know, work on Friday, get everything, you know, cleaned up and ready to go, and then Saturday have it done. Once we knew that was the goal, then it was like, I wanted to stay. I didn't want to miss any of that. You know, that was important to be there for that whole thing and help out and feel like you had a part in it. I think Devin probably felt the same way.
Yeah, no, for sure. That was a big thing. And it was great. The only thing I missed, I ran away for the second, something was going up and I missed it. I came back. I was like, I went to get my drone. I missed it. Dustin was like, yeah, it went up.
The last bent, I think that was.
So I stayed ever since then. But I did. I don't think I showed you, Justin. I got drone shots during the day and the night, but I got a really cool drone shot. I could only charge my drone. Silly me, I didn't charge them at all. So when I got there, I was always looking for plugs and stuff. So I had plugged my battery pack up to where you guys were charging all the other wireless stuff. And I had that sitting there, and towards the end, I got it up in the air. And then right away, it's like, battery's dying, so you got to bring it back down. So I was like, all right, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to at least get a shot. So I pointed straight down at the structure, and I slowly came down, and then I slowly tilted up as I got level. And it was perfect. Nice. You were straddling the top, like pointing and giving direction. And like, I sat it there for like 20 seconds. It's like the perfect shot. So that's definitely going in the video.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. That's cool. When do you hope the video to be done?
It'll be this week. I lost because I just, I moved into a new house. So I lost my SD card reader. So I hadn't been able to get the footage in, but I bought a new one, and I'll do it this week. It'll definitely be up sometime this week. Can we go back, Justin, to your trip to, like, how many months in advance were you preparing all the timber? And I know you had some there and some at your house, and then your drive halfway across the country to get there.
Right. Yeah, or you want me to, like, walk through the whole process, or just...
Yeah, I think so.
So,
coming up with the idea, and then going through it.
Yeah, it just, when I went out there in 2019, and I got out there, and I just, you know, was kind of, I was just excited to be there and see all these amazing people and everything, And what I love about the Maker Camp is I feel like everybody, because Dustin, I even picked up, you said something by the end of your weekend. You were thinking about ways that you could contribute in some way. Like, mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it was you said, but when I was out there in 2019, you know, there's these blacksmiths doing all this amazing work, and there's just everybody kind of going around and doing their thing. And I was like, how could I contribute? No, how could I, you know, really, like, put my hand on this a little bit in a way that would be fitting, you know? And I'd been getting into timber framing for a little while at that point. And that was kind of like the drive for me to really, like, push more into it as far as, like, really get going on it. And so I talked to Austin about it, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? And he was like, yeah, I love the idea. And so that was October 2019. So in January of 2020, I sent him a cut list of all the timbers for that structure, and he had them cut and milled, like, right away in January. So that would have been fine, you know, if we would have ended up having some type of a timber or something in the summer and then have the camp in 2020. But then obviously the world turned upside down. And so we end up doing virtual maker camp, and those timbers have been sitting since January of 2020 until we got to them in July of 21. And so now you're going on, they've been sitting a while, and when we worked them at the timber inn in July, there were some that were dry. There were some that we didn't end up using all of them. There were some that had some bug issues where bugs got into them we couldn't use. So we had to kind of go through and make do with what we could. But the fact that we were able to use it, you know, still from that first cut, I felt pretty fortunate. So July, Chip and I came out, and I think it was, what, over 3 days in mid-July, we did a timber inn where anybody – that was a free event as far as the event itself. You could pay to stay on the grounds if you wanted to. But I think, Dustin, you just drove down, right, for the day?
I did, yeah. I was on vacation up in Lake George, so north of Albany. So it took me about an hour and 20 minutes or so to drive down from there. So I came down, Saturday morning and stayed from, I think, 9 to about 1 o'clock or so. Yeah, a couple hours.
Yeah. So I think I counted throughout that weekend, I think we had about 32 to 35 people at the Timber Inn in July working on it. So, you know, there was probably 20 to 25 people consistently working on it. And then, you know, another 10 to 15 that kind of rolled in like yourself. And so that was pretty cool. You know, that was a really cool way for me to get to meet a lot of these people that I message with and, you know, that I follow. And and it was fun to get to see different people work differently. You know, there was so much work to be done. There was literally something for everybody for like 3 straight days. So then fast forward to the event, which was last weekend, and it was an awesome weekend. And that the Saturday, it was such a good feeling, getting that building put together, and it was cool for everybody to be together to make that thing happen. And then as you guys were both there, they dedicated it to Aaron Madia, who, you know, he had passed away. Mm-hmm. He just passed away, I think, 3 weeks after the timber inn, which that was the first time that I had met Aaron. I had messaged with him on Instagram before, but meeting him for the first time was that weekend. And, you know, the dedication, I thought, was a pretty high-level dedication. I mean, the frame looked awesome. And then, there were probably 75 people there. You know, standing around.
Yeah, maybe more than that.
Jimmy DiResta said some really nice words, and I hope it was good for him, you know, to be able to have those people there and talk. And then it was just what an amazing event and what an amazing experience to be a part of, you know. And so no matter what happens, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was talking to Patrick Reynolds about it earlier, and I think earlier, maybe at some point on Saturday before we did the dedication, he was saying how, you know, the thought was originally that it might be like hospitality type structure, that you might build that way it would be something like that in the future. And you know, it's unfortunate that there was a loss that then made it, you know, put the dedication as to like being dedicated to Aaron for his passing. But I think it was, to me, I think it was even more like climactic than the T-Rex burn, which was pretty climactic on Sunday. But I think having that on Saturday to be the cap of Saturday, you know, to like have that everything, it's all lit up at night and it looks beautiful, and they got the picture of Aaron hanging up and the, you know, the plaque on the actual structure, and Jimmy talking and everyone hanging around, and then like music afterward and the happy hour and all. I think it really was a very like special moment in time that was pretty epic for the event, you know.
Yeah.
An unfortunate turn of events for Aaron's life, but really a really special thing to be able to do, and to kind of figure out a way to do something to highlight him at the event, which is really, really important, I think.
And I'll say, for someone who never met him and didn't know him, and Dustin didn't know him, but it gave the event, it wasn't somber. I mean, it was somber when Jimmy was, you know, talking about him and talking about his love for him, and that's always going to be touching. And after that, it gave it a, like I said, it wasn't a downer. It was like a, I think everyone just got more lovey-dovey. I mean, that could have been more like a lot of beers, but everyone was like huggy, and like everyone was talking about things and like bringing up people they love. And like, I feel like that night was a lot of that. Like, I remember showing pictures of my daughter to, you know, random people and chatting about things. We, you know, it just felt like everyone was kind of loving the space and time they were in, and just thankful for the things they have, and it gave it a real nice feel.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it was a really good highlight on what that event is about, and not to take away from any of the other maker events that get put on, but I think that one is a real special one in the way that they can do a lot of things that the other events can't do. Like, you're probably not going to be able to get to another event where you had, you know, 30, 40, 50 people working on one single structure over a few days' time in the summer, and, you know, coming back and putting this thing up, and then, you know, having a dedication like that and having it be more about, like, I mean, it really felt like a community of people together to me. You know, it felt like this is a large group of people that have come together and we have this bond of making and wanting to make and wanting to, you know, pursue knowledge or whatever it is you say. But the common tie was, we're kind of all here together, and no matter, you know, hey, here's somebody over here that does epoxy. Here's somebody over here that makes knives. Here's a timber framer. Here's a blacksmith. But at this event, or at that moment, you know, in that dedication, it was about kind of everybody coming together and doing something that was a little bit bigger than ourselves for that night.
Yeah, I agree. I just, in that same vein, I think that there is that feeling of the event that everyone was there kind of with the same mindset. You know, you walk around, you see people that you notice, and you walk up and you say hey, and you know, you talk for a little bit, or someone sees you and they come up and they recognize you and they say hey. And you know, it was a really easy event to be a part of. And I think Devin and I talked about this last week, but I think there are these kind of groups of people who are more familiar with each other, and so you'd feel like, okay, well, this group is talking, so, you know, I might not want to jump into that conversation. But I never really felt like I was not part of something, or was kind of outside of something. There was always this kind of just a kind of a revolving door of everyone kind of being in doing something, and someone would break off and you start to chat with someone, and someone was super, super friendly and really welcoming. And I think that we all have this yearning for that connection, especially after a year of pandemic where we really were isolated from a lot of people and where people were used to going to events. And then also that, and combined with having a dedication for someone who we lost within the community, that brought that whole mentality back around, that like, let's take advantage of this opportunity to be with people and talk with people and get to know some people that we've, you know, become friends with online or we know of, but have never really had that kind of more intimate conversation. And so I think those are the moments that were really important and special for me, and a great reason to go to that type of event. And when I knew that the Maker Camp was happening the first year, we were going to my cousin's wedding up in Ottawa. So we already had plans for that weekend. And then, so I was, you know, after that on the way home and seeing pictures from that and seeing all Mark Adams' awesome pictures, I was like, well, I'm definitely going back to the 2020. Like, that was like on my radar right away. And then, you know, it was like going to happen, and then it wasn't going to happen, and then it was still going to happen, and then it wasn't going to happen. So it was like back and forth. And then the following year, Devin's like, well, 100%, he wanted to go with me as well, and we wanted to go together. So I think in my mind, you know, it was like, well, it would be tough to go to an event like this on your own, but and of course it's a little out of all of our comfort zone to just walk into an event by yourself and just start going up and talking to people. But this was the event where that could happen really easily. And it's geared that way, that everyone can be part of what's going on. You can walk into a booth and yeah, there might be something going on that you're not going to hop right in the middle of, but it, you know, things happen, and you know, there might be an hour where there's a demonstration here and here and here, but then all the other time around those times, it's like everything is open for everyone to be a part of. So like, you might just pop into a tent and start talking to somebody who, like, someone like I've followed for a long time, Jeff Fader and the Modern Forge guys, you know, to me, they're like, they have their thing. They've done a lot of different events and things, but it was nice to be able to just like look across the table and someone's standing there looking at you, or you're talking about someone, you're looking, you pick up their work, you're talking to about their work, and we're all just makers at that point. So I think that was the part of the event that I really loved, that everyone was just there to be a part of this thing that was really needed, I think, after, you know, the year of pandemic. Get back out there and chat with people.
Yeah,
I think that's a great point. I think also there's a little bit, not everyone was in a good mood, but there also was a hint, I think, of be on your, not best behavior, but be nice to people because you don't know who you're talking to. Or at least for me, that's because one group of people would be talking to another, and then one person would be like, oh, do you know who this is? And then they would like discuss, or Dustin would be like, do you know who we're just talking to? I mean, I was always out of it. So whatever, I'll be nice to anybody. I don't care. But I think there was a little bit of that. People just, everyone was nice to each other. Cause it's like, oh, that might be, it might be someone big, and you just don't know.
You don't want to pick a social fight. Media screen.
Yeah. Well, and talk to people. And that specific event, though, I mean, it is. I mean, we're obviously, the common tie that I think most people there have is social media. You know, that we follow each other and follow along and keep up with each other that way. But it's not but there's no like. The egos aren't there to be like, oh my God, there's Jimmy DiResta. I can't go talk to him. I can't, like, you know, or whoever, Jeff Fader or Jesse Savage, any of those guys, like, they're just right there. Go shake their hands. You can pick their brain on something, you know, and it gives you the confidence even in yourself. Like, that's what I've always been able to take away from this in meeting these people is, and it's not to take away from their talents, but you see, like, okay, these people are the top. I mean, they are the top of the echelon here. And like, you're talking with them and you realize, like, I can carry on a conversation with these people. Like, so I must be able to have something to give back to the community. I must be able to do something in that realm. And I think that builds your own confidence in a really good way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's, I think there's, like you said, there's this mystique of this, the upper echelon people who have lots of followers or lots of subscribers and have been doing it for a while, but we're all just in a different level of you know, quote unquote success in the grand scheme of what it is to be content creators. And like you said to your student, you know, I've made those same mistakes 50 times before. So all the things that we worry about, the mistakes we make, and the, you know, looking forward to meeting someone who has been doing it longer than we have, everyone has just already has been in that boat before and is still in that boat. You know, none of us are, I don't know, none of us are like the president of the United States, right? So we're never, none of us are the most popular person in the world, potentially sometimes, most well-known, you know what I mean? So there's always someone that we're looking forward to meeting. And I had a really cool experience as one of the stories. So I was, Devin and I were, let's see, I think at one point during the timber and, during the timber framing part one Saturday, I walked back up to get something, or I forget what I was doing. I had to grab something from the tent, and I kind of walked up, came back down, and I was in the pavilion briefly. And I walked through, I think, the back of Mark Adams' photo booth while someone was getting their picture taken. And right before I walked through, I like kind of looked over and I saw that he didn't have his camera up. So I kind of walked across the back of the backdrop. And then as I was walking through, I saw the flash and I was like, oh no. So I like photobombed someone. So I kind of went around and we were laughing. And I looked at the pictures and whatnot. And then Jimmy walked in on the other side. And so I kind of walked around out, heading back down toward the, where we were working on the timber framing structure. And I saw Jimmy's dad walking up. And so I saw him come back out, and that was a pretty like cool moment. So I just walked over and introduced myself and said, hey, and you know, thought it was kind of cool to meet both of them together. And I think that's like, you know, you see Jimmy DiResta, but then his dad's in that like generation above him. Now he was obviously not the same type of maker community that we have, but I just saw this, like these two generations of, you know, I guess pretty important people to all of us in the maker community. And why, you know, why Jimmy's called the godfather of make is because he's like been doing this for a while. And a lot of people look up to him and see him doing these different things. And also the fact that he can, has a, an amazing brain to make anything. But being able to see that two generations there and know that, like, you know, Jimmy came from someone else who kind of taught him throughout the years and inspired him to do stuff like that. Mm. And just kind of seeing that moment, that was kind of cool. And it gave me that impression of like, you know, everyone's got a father. Everyone's got someone else that helped them along the way and taught them things. And Jimmy's brother was there. And, you know, like none of us are out here alone. Like we all been doing this together, the same thing. We have that mindset of, you know, for the art of craftsmanship, we've been doing it 2017. And I see people all the time who will post things and say like, you know, I started knife making from watching your videos and now I'm doing it professionally. And, you know, so there's always this level of different people who are doing it at different times. And I think we all have something to share. And that's really what I took from Maker Camp, is that everyone has something to share and everyone has, it can be a part of this event and a part of this community. It's very welcoming. What I said last week, I was like, it felt like a big group hug. Like the whole weekend was like, just like a big group hug. Everyone's just like arms around everyone. No one's outside. Like everyone's inside this giant weekend of group hugging. as funny as that sounds, but
that was really well said though, Dustin. I think that's a really cool moment that you shared with Jimmy and his dad. And that's a great way to illustrate like kind of the feeling of, you know, we all have somebody that inspires us and we look up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how great was Mark, like, doing the photography the whole time? And I think I kept saying it, because at first you go, like, I think I asked Dustin, I was like, so what do? Do we, like, pay for it? Like, they, you know, some photographers, they'll send you proofs, but with, like, their logo over it, so you have to pay for it. And Dustin's like, no, he just does this for everybody. I was like, that is so, it's so kind and so smart at the same time. I that's what I love. I love someone who will do something good for people, but also you're being smart about it and you're definitely getting something out of it. I love that. Like, you're giving your stuff away for free, but everyone's using your photos and everyone knows your name. So it's genius. And I love that he did it. And all the photos from the weekend were so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mark does a great job of capturing people too. Like there's so much, I guess, texture or character in the pictures that he captures.
Yeah. I think he also is really easy to talk to and work with, I guess, on really quick basis, right? Because you walk in and he's like, all right, you want to take a picture? What do you want? And so he'll take a couple pictures. Okay, what do you think? How about this? How about this? It was just like so laid back and friendly and kind of smiley. And here, let me show you a couple. And then let's try a few more. And he gave a couple suggestions. I think that was another key element of him as a photographer. It's like he was able. And I think for all photographers who do portraits, you know, that's kind of the key, is to get the person to warm up and mm-hmm. either act natural or do something. I think that's also the fun thing about this event is that you could pull in other people and take pictures of other people and stuff and you know, capture these moments. It's almost like everyone.
People.
Exactly. Yeah. Would you say, Devin, last week that it was almost like a high-end photo booth?
Yeah, I said it's the highest and most expensive free photo booth there's ever been.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that's just having that, like, having someone there to capture it and to push you a little bit and try this, or how about move forward, move back. So he knows what looks good. He knows how to use, like, depth of field and all to push, you know, that the aesthetic of the photo. But just having him there to be able to capture that, I think that was huge and something that I really enjoyed from the first Maker Camp, seeing all those pictures. So it was cool seeing him back again, and he got some good pictures of us. It was fun.
Justin, was there anything that you wish you had done differently with the Timber Frame Pavilion?
The structure itself, not really. I wanted to keep it really simple, you know, just as far as style and shape. And I just wanted people to be able to get their hands on a timber frame, you know, and like you can see like how impressed, like even just a really simple structure like that one, how impressive they are. Like to just walk up to me, you know, and mm-hmm. and I'll be honest, like, and I was probably like, I felt like a proud father a little bit, but it was pretty cool for me to kind of stand back, like throughout the weekend, like maybe even be, you know, 50 to 100 yards away talking to somebody and just watch people that I didn't even know, like walking through it and like just looking up and taking pictures of it. And, you know, people that I never met and or anything. And I just thought like, man, that's such a cool moment, you know, as I've grown up a builder and, you know, and there's definitely certain buildings in my mind that I've had the, I guess, good fortune to be able to do, you know, through either, you know, through like a really high level build or high quality build, or just maybe doing a building that meant a lot for somebody. I mean, this one was right up there with any of them, you know, where it's just when you affect so many people. And, you know, I think maybe a lot of people look at buildings as like, you know, like, okay, it's a building, whatever. But to me, you know, it's something that I've grown up in doing, and now it's like it's becoming my artwork. And it's how, you know, I really get inspired by buildings that give you a certain feeling when you look at them or when you're in them. You know, when you're having an event and, you know, it's just like, wow, this is such a cool room. This is such a cool building. Like, those are the types of structures that I want to do. And those are the types of buildings that I want to build. And not just, because my dad was teaching me how to lay out walls when I was 11, 12 years old. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I've grown up through the residential, you know, stick framing side. And I've done plenty of structures that were, I guess, I mean, I don't want to use the word soulless, but, you know, just like, I feel like anybody could have done this. You know, there's definitely those just average builds. And I'm definitely at a point in my career when I walk away from a building or a structure that I've done, I want people to be able to, like, say, like, okay, I don't know how to do that, or I don't know how that's done. Or, you know, they look at a building or a structure and they get a certain feeling, or it just makes them feel like, wow, okay, that is awesome. And I definitely got that feeling, you know, last weekend.
Yeah. And there's also them not knowing how it's done. Like, it's magical, but it's also, there's an accessibility because you can see how it's done, right? It's deceptively simple, just like, because stick framing, you're always covering everything up. Always covering it up, drywall, right. Throw something up. paint it, fix it, done, make it look like nothing was there. So for once, when someone sees timber frame, they see everything. They can start to put stuff together. It's pretty, oh, that goes in that hole, and that's pegged through, and that's how it stays together.
Right, yeah.
So there's this simplicity, but there's the strength there that people are like, they can see and they can feel. I don't know, it's a really cool thing. I think the ability for the average person to see how it was built, almost like Lincoln Logs or Legos, it's very impressive.
I think also people, like you were saying, Justin, there's a point of pride to building something, and someone can see how it was made. When, you know, getting into like standard housing and construction and stick frame, you know, like Devin said, some of that's hidden. Obviously, people could see a house go up and be impressed by its overall feel, but seeing how something was made, then you can see the maker. And I think that's the difference between the two, is that when you see that, you see this thing and you can identify it with a person who had a significant hand in the design and how it went together. So you can attribute the work to the artist per se, you know, so like that, I feel like that's why, at least in my opinion, timber framing has more of that feeling of like an artistic architectural element to it, because there's that design feel and that the chiseling of the tenons and, you know, drilling out the chiseling, you know, like just everything that goes into it, as it's like, it feels like it has a hand to it that, yeah, you might get the beams from a mill, but from that point on, everything is done by the maker. You know, so it's not just like just putting it all together, you know, taking all these pieces and putting it together. So you're taking all the pieces and then you're making all the pieces the right length, and mortise and tenon and, you know, all the holes and all the pegs and all the knee braces and, you know, beam and post and everything. Everything has to be made. Nothing can just be taken and chopped to size and then put up. It's like everything has to be fit perfectly together. Everything is numbered one to the other, and that gives it that feeling of art. I think that's where that kind of pride, like someone can look at it and think, this person, you know, everyone will look at that and think, you know, Justin Dietrich facilitated this all happening. You know, so you're like the artist with the studio of helpers around getting it going. And that's like a really awesome feeling. And that's what I want to be a part of. Like, I want to be a part of that studio helping to build that structure.
Yeah. And that's, and, yeah, that's a good point too. Oh, I was just going to say, that's a good point too, because it's definitely, like you said, it's a little bit of an art studio. I mean, it's kind of like, in a weird way, it's like, that's my jam, you know? Like, I grew up on job sites, you know, and I grew up around, you know, hammers and saws and dirty construction sites, and that is, like, that's my studio. You know, I've never really, like, thought of it that way, but that is, like, where I'm comfortable at. And Devin, the one word that I've read about timber framing that I think you were like hitting around is honest. Like, timber framing is a very honest like trade. Mm-hmm. And so, like, yeah, you were talking about the simplicity and you can see everything. And I think that's the other thing, is it's honest. It doesn't hide anything. And like what you were saying, and I know of many homes that were poorly built, but were covered up with vinyl siding and drywall, and no one knows it. You know, you can't, you know, but you can't do that with the timber frame. So I think that's part of it as well. So, well,
if you do cover it up, shame on you.
Yeah, I do like the fact that there were also some, you know, like there was a spot where like a mortise had been drilled out, right? And then it wasn't the right spot, so it was filled in. And then there was a spot where there was like an additional peg hole that was drilled and put through and then cut flush, you know. It was like, there's the honesty right there. You could see those flaws, right? It's like, what are we going to do?
The cool thing about that, though, is people who don't know, they'll like walk up and be like, what do you think this part's used for? This is different.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, oh, why? Like, what were they doing here?
We were talking earlier about the people who are like helping participate in the timber and then in the an actual build at the Maker Camp. And you see that picture from Daniel Harju, like hours after everyone left on Monday. It's just him standing in front of the in the timber framing structure, just by himself with it behind him, and he's like, "Did I miss it?"
Oh, I love Daniel, man. He's a stud.
That's so funny.
That's well, yeah,
that was a great post.
I don't mean to hijack your podcast or direct it. I do have a question for you guys.
Okay.
If you don't mind transitioning away from the Maker Camp.
No, let's do it.
Okay, so here's my question, because I was driving today and I was thinking about this, and especially all three of you, and the reason that I shouldn't say the reason that I had this thought, but something that kind of made me think about it a little bit was a conversation that I had with you, Devin, on, I think it was like the first night we were, I think it was, you know, maybe an hour after I told you I was going to bed, and then it was two beers later that you'd given me, and I was mad at you, but I'll save that for another time. So one of the questions I have, because I find myself, you know, sometimes struggling with this, is like balancing your personal life with making, and specifically for the three of us, like balancing the dad life with still pursuing like a maker life and wanting to do these things, because, you know, it was a pretty big commitment for me to come out to Maker Camp, like just a time commitment, just covered 6 days almost. And so, yeah, you know, that's a long time away from your family, especially when you got little ones. And to me, like, you know, the thought coming home, and it, like, I absolutely feel like, you know, it was the right thing, you know, and that I'm doing the right thing. But the other side of it is really hard being away from home. It's hard on the wife, and it's hard, you know, on the kids. And it's like, you want to be, so it's like, you don't always want to just leave. But at the same time, for me, these are mentally healthy things for me to do, you know, and I'm at my best when I'm doing stuff like this, and I'm meeting people like you, getting out there, shaking hands. And then I come home and I'm a better person, and I want to get back in the shop, and I want to take some of the things that I picked up from you guys and other people and other makers out there, and I want to bring them back here. So I'm just curious as to how you guys balance that a little bit. And as I said, it started with you, Devin, because that one night, so Dustin, your daughter is what, 7, 8, 9?
She's 12 now.
Okay, so she's a little bit older, and so mine are 7 and 5, but Devin, yours is not a year?
Yeah, just over a year, yeah.
Just a year. Very young. And when you and I were talking, because this, I picked up on this about you, because you were like the social butterfly that night, and you were floating around talking to everybody, having a good time. You were like the life of the party. You're telling jokes. You're the funny guy. And then something got up, brought up about your daughter, and your tone changed. And you had that little twinkle in your eye. And then I think you had your phone out, and you're showing pictures and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, which is awesome. I mean, there's no better feeling in the world. But how do you guys balance that? Yeah. Like, by staying active and staying busy with what you want to do personally, but still being a good father and keeping up with that side of your life.
I'll start. Yeah, that, I think it's also, I'm sure it will change a little bit when they get older. They're more independent. But right now, I feel like if I go away, there's so much quick growth and things that I feel like I don't want to miss it. But I also know, like you said, Justin, you have to get away for your own health and your own, just, you have to be in the best place. And then when you come back, You're situated. You're sorted. You don't want to constantly feel like you're missing things, because then you'll end up resenting your family, and that's just obviously a terrible thing. But if someone did start to bring up the kid, like daughters and stuff, yeah, I'd start to like show her off and get like, oh, look, like blah, blah, blah. Because my wife would like send me like, oh, she's having a bath now, and here she is outside, and blah, blah, blah. And also, like I said, we just moved into a new house. So all that extra like unpacking stuff was put on my wife, which was definitely an extra thing. But like Dustin said 2 years ago, when it didn't happen, after that, we're like, okay, we're both going. So it's just put this time aside. We're both going. It'll be good for us. It's good for us to meet everyone or a lot of people, because we hadn't done that. And we know we're going to have to do that. And it's just something we want to do. And I'll also say our parents did a lot of that. I mean, our mom and dad were always around for the things, but they would also... My mom always had like girls' nights out, and they would go away for like weekends, and they would do things. So I think it's already in our brain that, okay, the parents do go away sometimes. They definitely need a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I was thinking the same thing at Justin as you were asking the question, like that. I remember that both of our parents would do that. Like our dad would go to like his buddy's house for like a poker night, and our mom would go out like for a while. It was once a week. Now I have three brothers. There are four of us together. So, you know, no one can blame them from needing some time away from four boys, like all little boys going crazy all the time, you know? So, but I think there's a, as a parent, you need to model what is healthy for a person, and it's healthy for a person to have interests that are outside of just their family. Like my mom always said to us, like, I love you all, you're my sons, and I love you all, but I love your father in a different way. You know, like, I love your father, he's my husband, he's my partner, he's the person I'll be with forever. You guys are my children, I'm gonna love you guys in a separate way. And then, you know, that, so I knew there was like a healthiness to having it, that you didn't have to spend every minute and do everything for your family, that you could do some things for yourself, which would reflect how a healthy adult needs to live. And you have to be able to do some things that are for you, and be able to step away and do those things independently of your family sometime for your own mental health, and just to be an interesting person, right? That's, I think, one of the things that maybe you mentioned at some point, Devin, when you were younger and you were dating, and you were maybe, I forget who it was, but somebody you were dating, and you had dated a new person and said that you really enjoyed that this person had like hobbies of their own, right? That they like wanted to do stuff outside of just dating you. You know, it wasn't like there was something that was special, something that was special about them that they had that you didn't have. Right.
Right. Right.
So that when you see that in someone else, you can see that there's a healthiness to this thing that they're devoted to and that they think is really special and that they're good at, you know, or at least they're trying to be good at. And I think that's healthy about that relationship. So with me, like Justin, you said that, you know, your daughter's 7 or 8, right? That's you've seen at least little snippets of her grow up throughout the art of craftsmanship over like since 2017. You know, if you see those early videos, she's little, you know, she pops in occasionally and then she's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now she's 12 and we still have her in every video somewhere. We still have her as the shop elf, like hiding in the videos. And, you know, we talk about maybe one day she'll not want to do that, or she won't be around. We'll have like a little cardboard cut out of her leaning up against the wall or something to have that in there. But, but she was, you know, we always wanted to get her into it. So there were times when she would help us in the videos. And I think for us as makers, there's something so special about having an idea and then completing that idea and having it be a real thing that, I want my daughter to be a part of that. And so the whole making thing, you know, me disappearing down to the shop, or Devin coming over multiple times a week and we film while my wife and daughter up here, you know, hanging out, what it is, like, it's kind of become part of our life over the years. And they're always welcome to come down to the shop and kind of be in the videos somehow, or, you know, whatnot. So it is part of what it is, but I think it's important as adults and parents to show our children that a healthy adult has things that are important to them that they can be passionate about. And the best way I think we can do that is to kind of take some time off and have that independent passion and do something on our own that hopefully we can involve our children in, you know, and give them that passion too. So I think that was always my way to justify, you know, doing videos and going places and doing things and buying things that were important to me was like, well, you know, this is how a healthy adult lives. Or if you want to try to be a healthy adult, you need to have something that's important to you and that you can pursue to try to become something, have something that you can look back on and be proud of maybe.
And for you, Justin, your boys must have, I guess, whether they said it to you or not, they must be proud seeing their dads going somewhere and like putting up a structure and building stuff. Like that's how they feel about that.
Yeah, they when I got home, they asked a lot about it, and I showed them a few pictures and videos. You guys met Jim Smith out there that he was the timber framer. It was a couple hours north, so he came down. He put up a YouTube video just a couple days after. Yeah. So I showed him that video, you know, so they kind of got an idea. And, you could tell they were really proud of it and really into it and curious. And I think, Dustin, something that you said that hit me was talking about modeling – like a healthy lifestyle to your children, I think is really important with this. And me as a woodshop teacher, I can see that a lot of kids, you know, haven't gotten that. And so they kind of get into woodshop sometimes and they kind of don't, you know, not all, but there are definitely some kids who probably haven't been around a lot of tools, a lot of power tools in dad's shop, in grandpa's shop, whatever it is, which, you know, me, like, and I'm sure you guys, especially with your other two brothers, that was probably just a way of life, you know, as far as like climbing on tools and tractors and machinery and on job sites. And, and, you know, but I sometimes have to take a step back and realize that a lot of the kids now, you know, they haven't had that. And I want to model that as a thing for my boys is like, it's number one, it's nothing to be ashamed of to be like a maker and to work with your hands. It's actually a really positive, healthy thing. And, you know, and the stereotypes of, you're a maker, you're working with your hands, so you're probably not that smart, so you're not going to go to college. Right. You know, just all those stereotypes, like, and I'm sure you guys will know exactly what I'm talking about, and you can probably think of a lot of people like this, but my dad used to say, like, you know, the most, I can't remember exactly how he used to say this, I'd have to go back and really try and think about it, but he used to say something along the lines of, like the smartest people in the world are like smart rednecks, or like rednecks that like it was something to do with like basically, you know, a person that could like logically think through something but wasn't afraid to work with their hands and like do and like get dirty, like a person like that. And you know, that comment has always kind of stuck out in my mind a little bit, because I think about, you know, like, I think sometimes people view me like a little bit like, oh, dumb construction worker, you know, and I have my master's degree in education. So like, I've tried to kind of like model my life like that. Like, I try and be like one of the hardest working people I know. But at the same time, I know that, you know, I'm not that smart of a person, but I've worked really hard through education to work my way up. So, you know, I think there's a balance there, and I can tell, is like, my boys are going to be smarter than me, which makes me extremely happy. Luckily they got their mom smarts. But so like, I want to give them that base root of when they're growing up in their young life, like knowing how to work hard, work ethic. You're never above working with your hands. You know, you're never above mm-hmm. getting dirty. We raise pigs out here. We build. So you're never above cleaning out a hog pen. You're never above cleaning up sticks in the yard. Yeah. And, you know, so if I feel like if you can get that into a young child at a young age and get them to understand that, and then as they continue to grow and get smarter and they get the book smarts with it, you know, it's a really good, healthy balance for them. And I just, want to continue to like put that into their mind as they get older.
Yeah. I think a little what you were touching on as well, which seemed important to me, is that if you can teach a child that you're not above these different things, then that translates into you're also not above other people, right? And that mentality is what makes a good person, right? Whether you are smart or not, if you're humble, then people recognize that and they see that, and you become approachable and you become desirable as someone who's willing to work and willing to try hard. And, you know, you will move through a company that way, or you'll move up in business, or you'll move into a position because people see that and they understand that you're not above doing the work that needs to be done to get somewhere. And so whether you want to push yourself to get into, you know, go to college and get a higher education and be a CEO of a company, or you want to, you know, have a house and a family and pass on this this legacy to your children, that hard work and, you know, diligence and humility is important. Both of those people, if you're a humble person, you know, you can both go as far as you want in that vein. So being someone who works with your hands, makes mistakes, I think you ultimately like build humility and a humble mindset into what you do, because you know, and maybe that's the thing that everyone at Maker Camp had, right? We've all had those mistakes. So we all know that at some point you're in your shop by yourself and you're doing something, and then all of a sudden you mess up and you're just in there cursing yourself and you're pissed off and you throw it against the wall. And then you got to start over and try again, like, because we've all made those mistakes. We've all like been in that situation where you either have to keep going or you don't. You either stop doing it and you don't, or you keep going. And I think that maker switch, that maker personality, pushes you to keep trying. You're like, well, let me try again. Because I think the other thing too, as makers, we have these little wins often where we see something happen that impresses us, or we're impressed and we're proud. And those little wins help us to move through the bigger, you know, mishaps, the fuck ups. When you're like, oh, now what am I gonna do? Well, I know before I've gotten past this before, you know, like I can get past this moment now because I've done it before. Yeah. I've seen these little wins along the way, and I've been proud of what I've been able to do before, so I'm sure I can do that again.
Yeah. Well, and and to add to that real quick, a little bit of that can-do-itness, you know, and I think if there was ever a better time in the world to understand, like, hey, an education is great and you should want to go get a college education. But you know what? If someone in your life when you were younger taught you how to work with your hands, you'll always be able to fall back on something. You know, like you'll never find yourself at a spot right now that's like, oh, well, you know, either my business fell apart and I got fired or let go or whatever your reason for unemployment is right now. Like, if you can go work with your hands, I bet you're not unemployed right now. And, you know, and I've made plenty of fuck ups myself, Dustin, in my life. And and even in my own business and construction, I've made plenty of mistakes. But the one thing, the absolute one thing I have learned that got me through all of them was putting my head down and getting to work. Like, you literally can work your way through bad situations. And I've done it before, and I know that I can do it. And so even for my own family, I know that if something bad ever happened, I will physically work my way through it. So You know, I think a lot of that goes back to, but I had people, when I was young, I had people showing me that, you know, that I didn't, you know, if I developed that, it's because the people that I was watching when I was young taught me those things.
Yeah. Right. It's the, like doing labor jobs and those really tough 6 day a week, heavy lifting labor jobs when you're spent every day. That's the Paris Island Marine Corps training of life, right? Because by the time you're out of Paris Island, you're so beat down and bonded with other people that anything that comes out at you it's kind of easier. You're not afraid. So you're doing those labor jobs when you're young, or construction, or like with me, I did a lot of flooring. I worked for a flooring company for a couple of years, and just that day in and day out, 6 days a week. By the time you get out of that, you're toughened up. So when when someone says, "Oh, you have to do this, blah blah blah," or now I do sports production. When they like say you have to stay an extra hour to edit something, it's nothing to me. I don't care. Sure, I'll stay an extra hour. I'm not afraid of sitting here on my ass and editing. That's fine.
Like, done.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, doing that or seeing that, you know, like you said, with parents, like our father was a landscaper for a long time and had his own business. And, you know, we would go to job sites and sit with him and help him out for hours and hours. And my mom would come and we'd all have to get stuff done. You see that. That diligence and that work ethic, and my dad has the most serious work ethic out of anyone that I've ever met. You know, he's like the whole mentality: if you're 5 minutes early, you're on time, and if you're on time, you're 5 minutes late. You know, it's like you got to be there to work, and you got to work hard, and you know, and so even just being around people like that, if you grow up around that mentality, I think that's really important to show people that, you know. And I think going back to your point, Justin, about being a parent and in this situation that like sometimes you got to work hard, sometimes you want to go and do something, and then you also need sometimes you have to go and do the things that are important to you to have that balance in life.
Yep.
So, Justin, I want to ask you, was there anything that you did outside of the – obviously you did some other things, but something that stood out to you that was really fun, another – like some other story to end on or kind of wrap up a little bit? And, Devin, you can think of the same thing, something from Maker Camp.
Ooh, from Maker Camp.
Something else that was fun.
Devin, do you have something?
I don't know. I think, I may have talked about it last week, but I really enjoyed the, like camping aspect of it being so close. Mm-hmm. I mean, that also might've been because I could easily get beers within a stone's throw, but, I loved being right there in it. Like when they brought us to where we were going to camp, it was right behind like two tents, like, where Dresden was doing his demonstrations was right there, and we were just in it. And for a while with a couple other guys, we just kind of sat on the edge and like had beers and ate beef jerky and just watched people. And I enjoyed doing that as much as getting in with everyone, but it was nice to just have a place right nearby to stay. And then also forging my little hook was fun. Like I didn't know if I wanted to do it at first. Dustin kept trying to encourage me to do it, like why don't you try to do it. And at first it's not an excuse, I guess my thing was like I want to be here to meet people and like capture the event. I wasn't as and also the timber framing thing, because I've been trying to get that going too at my place. That was the main thing. I wanted to be there, capture the event, but then also be there as much as we could for the timber framing and learn as much as I could and observe and help a little bit, you know, put in three pegs that I did put in. but just, being where we were, I think we want to try to get that spot again, and we will probably bring a lot more people. There'll probably be more O'Haras. There'll probably be more friends. It's going to be a blast.
That's awesome. So I'm picturing you guys rolling in like Harry and the Henderson station wagon or something. Like just a car full of people hanging out the edge. Just full of coolers in the back. Right. That's it. A couple of sleeping bags.
That's right.
Yeah, we figured our priorities this year, so that way next year we know what to bring more of.
Oh, that's good stuff. No, I just I think the thing that always sticks out in my mind, and I guess one thing that leads into another, but just the high quality people that you meet. Like, I mean, and I'm not talking about, you know, social media wise. I'm just talking about literally meeting high quality people that are living their life right, that are, you know, they come up and shake your hand, and they're just like so excited to like be at such a cool event. And you know, there's a lot of people that I met that, you know, they don't ever get time to get away, and they don't get to take a lot of vacations. Maybe they don't have a lot of money, and this is the thing they set their money aside for, and you can see how much it means to them to be a part of it. And so I think that part of it is just so cool to share with so many people, and to, like I said, to, you know, just meet somebody from, you know, wherever, meet somebody from Pennsylvania that, you know, I've gotten to know. So I've gotten such a better layout of the land in my mind by going out there the last few years and meeting different people. You know, it's so funny to me because out there, you know, you can drive two hours in any direction and be in like five or six different states, you know, just because everything's so tight. Yeah. And, you know, and now, you know, it gets even crazier the further west you go. But like where I live, I have to drive 3 hours in any single one direction just to get out of Illinois. And then once you do that, now you're in Indiana or Missouri, you know, it's like, it looks the exact same. It's like, you're like, nothing is different. It's all the same. So, I love coming out that area, and it's just so pretty out there. And then the Maker Camp being in October over Columbus Day weekend, trees are turning, the weather's kind of cool. Like that's my favorite type of weather. You know, you got to wear a hoodie to stay warm It was a good time, and like I said, I'm glad that I finally got to meet you guys in person, just had a blast. Same. So,
I'll kind of not end, but this is the story that kind of sticks out in my mind for the event, which is really awesome. And then Justin, if you haven't thought about it, you think of maybe a recommendation, then we'll do some recommendations to wrap up the podcast. So there were a lot of things that were really awesome to me. Obviously being part of the group of people putting up the timber frame structure, that was really important. And that was a really intimate, and memorable event. I think talking with people and having people kind of know a little bit about you, but get to learn more about people, and have people learn more about us was really fun and interesting. And like, having people put names and faces together was really fun throughout the entire weekend. Like I met, I think I mentioned this last week, but I think her name is Carolyn is her first name, but her Instagram handle is the Wood Witch or Woods Witch. And I've been following her for a long time, but I met her without even knowing that's who she was. You know, it was like, we talked for a while and then eventually I realized it, not even while we were talking, but I was like, holy cow, that was, you know, that was the Woods Witch. I didn't realize that.
That's one of those things. I think I must've talked to her for an hour about dogs.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Just by the end, you don't know. She's just some nice lady with a dog who I asked, hey, can I pet your dog? And then from there on, you just chat for an hour and then you don't know. It's great.
So I think that was all really important. And also, I thought I did have it, like, it was special for me to see you doing the blacksmithing dev. That was cool just because people know me as the face of the channel, and you know, if they listen to the podcast, they know you a little bit more intimately, but you know, having you make something and me film a little bit, that was kind of fun. but one of the coolest things that happened, so on Sunday night, there was the big Maker Burn. So they had, they built Wesley Treat and I can't remember the other guy's name off the top of my head, but they built like a 25-foot T-Rex in the middle of the field and then set it all up and burnt it. And we're all standing around this big giant circle. Everyone's maybe 50, 60, 70 feet away from the actual T-Rex in a giant circle, and everyone's like watching. And there's a kind of an important, that was kind of the visual of that giant Maker group hug, you know, which I kind of remembered. Mm-hmm. But we're there and we're watching, and Devin, you like went and got the drone, you're flying around. There's people, and I noticed some of the people, I recognize the people, and we've got a couple people around us that we have been chatting with for the weekend. But then I feel my phone buzz, and so I pull it out, and it's Justin, and he's saying, "Are you guys still here?" And so I was like, "Yeah, we're here." And, you know, I said, "We're around the fire," whatever. And, you know, I told you where we were. And at that moment, that was pretty special for us because, you know, everyone there had like, you had the people you're interested in seeing. And then, you know, everyone's kind of trying to meet people because they have this persona of who they are from their social media presence or their YouTube channels. But to get a direct message from you, Justin, that you were just like looking for us to hang out, that was really cool because that made it feel like we were meant to be there. You know, it was like, oh, cool. Someone's here. That's not just Devin who is trying to find me or us to hang out for the evening. I love you too, Dev, but
you know, I've seen enough.
You
of
don't have a choice. We were sleeping in the same tent, but it just reiterated that fact that like that. We're there like as makers, we're all there as like these social media presences. We have that presence, but it's all people who enjoyed hanging out with other people and having those conversations and drinking a beer and talking about things they loved and showing pictures of their family. And it was special. That was a cool moment. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words. And you're right. It is kind of funny. Like you'll be sitting there talking with somebody and all of a sudden they're, like you said, you know, they're showing pictures of their family and doing that stuff. And it's like, just you're just like, wow, this is a friend of mine now. You know, this person is a friend, you know, not just someone I know of, you know. And so that's that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun. All right. Well, we will wrap it up with some recommendations. And I'll actually start, and I want to start because we were just talking about this. So my recommendation this week is Brett McAfee from Skull and Spade 13 on Instagram and also on YouTube. So when Devin did he took the hour-long class or whatever it was, you know, just kind of getting some direction from a teacher. It was Brett who was leading that, you know, teaching you, Devin, and like leading you through the hook and stuff and giving you guys the pointers on form and all. And it was really cool. It was fun to watch you do that. And it was fun to be able to sit back and watch that happen. But it was also cool to kind of talk with Brett a little bit on the side while you guys are working. And he kept coming over and we would chat about a few things and he'd be like, "Hey, he's doing really good." You know,
it's
like, yes.
Real quick. When you were coming in and you saw that I was on there and you were like shooting stuff, but you're asking me questions. I remember having the feeling of like stop. I'm listening to the teacher. Like you were the kid trying to chat with me and I was trying to pay attention to the teacher. And you kept being like, "Hey man, what are we going to do?" I was like, "Stop it." I was trying to be a good boy, you know? And it just But yeah, anyway, yeah. He was a great teacher.
Yeah,
Brett,
Brett
gave me my first blacksmith lesson 2 years ago in 2019 out there, and Brett does an awesome job. Like he does a very good job of explaining it and working with you through it. So
yeah, and I've chatted with him a little bit more on Instagram. And actually, I think you were the one who suggested that I reach out to him when I was doing the post vice, the restoration. You saw some pictures on Instagram. You said, reach out to Brett because he may have some more information about it. And so I did. And so he and I have chatted back and forth a little bit and become social media peripheral friends, you know, like we all are occasionally. But yeah, he's a really good dude and did some, you know, it was really fun to watch him teaching Devin. But he just posted a really cool video on his YouTube channel of making a forged coffee table base. So he made this really cool organic tree out of all these forged pieces of metal that he bent around and did all, like, you know, forged a bunch and then used a torch to bend things, and just really beautiful work. So that's my recommendation.
I feel
Brett McAfee.
I feel like Brett's at a spot right now. He's really starting to set himself apart. I mean, he's been there for a while, but I really feel like he's really taken it to another level lately.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing some really cool stuff. It's just, it's really fun to watch, and then it was great to meet him and see him, you know, teach Devin some stuff. It made it all come around, you know, is fun. So check it out. Go check him out on YouTube. I think it might be Brett McAfee on YouTube, but his Instagram is skullandspade13.
Nice. I'll go next. This is a buddy of ours, Matt Brown. We've talked to him on the podcast, and we probably brought his Instagram up, but he's so good at guitar. He does the music along with me, but he does all the solos, and I do the three chords over and over again in our videos. His Instagram is so good. The photos he takes are awesome. Like, I didn't think that... I mean, I did, but, you know, when someone's so good at one thing, you just assume, like, he has an Instagram, like, whatever. But the photos he takes and the places he goes, he's out west now. He does hunting, and he takes his old RAV4 out, and with beautiful photos. Him and his wife go all over, and he hunts and does all these cool things, but... Matt Brown, it's called The Brown Sound. We've had him on before, but his Instagram is awesome, so go check it out.
Yeah, he did just post it. Was he out on, like, the salt flats or something?
Yeah, yeah, beautiful photos of salt flats.
Yeah, they're really cool. All right, Justin, awesome. You have a recommendation?
I'm going to give you two for two people that have given me a lot of inspiration in the last couple years, but... Somebody, one specifically that came out to the timber and or to the raising anyways last weekend at the Maker Camp was Jim Smith. He is a timber framer up in northern New York. Yeah, you're laughing, Devin, because if you meet the guy.
Well, he was my suggestion. He was my recommendation last week.
Oh, he was? Oh, yeah. I haven't listened yet, so. That's awesome. So, yeah, well, wild, yeah, so I guess good. We're yeah, double.
Double
so,
recommendation. Yeah, awesome.
Jeez. Wow, 2 weeks in a row. But, yeah, no, Jim's a great guy. And it was awesome. It was awesome having him out there as somebody who's done it for a long time. And, you know, just he called me up this week, and he was just like, man, that was just absolutely awesome, you know. And I think it was good for him to kind of get back around into it a little bit around some other people, and because it is revitalizing and it's refreshing. So he is one. The other one I want to point out is Rob Hughes, who is also a timber framer in western New York. He's kind of south of Buffalo area. And Rob is just... Rob has really helped me personally come a long way in the last couple of years. And his design sense is just phenomenal. But he and I connect really well because he's a teacher. And so he's teaching timber framing to his students, which that's kind of how he and I got connected. Was I had found a magazine article that somebody had, like, showcased what he was doing with his students. And it was what I was wanting to get into with my students. And in the article, he says, like, yeah, I hope maybe somebody can read this and realize that they could do this too in their shop with their students. And I was like, well, that's me. That's not like
I'm
that
somebody
to me. And so I sent him an email, you know, not knowing, like, how often he checks his email or anything, not knowing if I'd ever hear back from him. And I got an email back from him within the next day. And so then we kind of went back and forth. And this summer, we ended up meeting, and I got to go out to his place. And just a beautiful place. Like, I think he owns, like, 60 acres out on this mountain in, like, western New York. And his family does anyways. And he's got a pretty cool spot, like a timber frame cabin. And he's got all these, like, small timber frame structures. Nice. I've been sharing, he's not on Instagram, but I've been sharing his Facebook post on Instagram because he is just at a very, very high level of timber framing. And he just put up this beautiful salt box style workshop up on this mountain, and just a really cool. And he and I, we've been talking about it for a while, and to see it go up for him, because he had said that he was going to try and come out to Maker Camp, but when he needed to get his building up, they raised it on the same day. And man, just somebody who's really, he's helped me personally come a long way, and has done it, you know, with just reaching his hand out basically and helping me along. And you know, just when you get to meet people like that, you know, and all they want you to do is to be able to take the information and pass it on to other people, you know, that's, you know,
right.
So it's, there's a lot of good people out there, and you just got to be willing to reach out to them, you know, and say hi. So
this is where Rob Hughes, is it, you stopped at his place on the way out to the timber, to the timber inn. Is that who you were
yes.
showing images of?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Chip
awesome.
And I
went. It was like a, yeah, had the grill. The grill wasn't like a grill structure that was over top of a grill.
Yeah, I think he calls them like grill pavilions. Like where like the, they're kind of, they're pretty cool. They, the roof line does not come to a peak. Right, or basically like one
right,
side
yep.
of the roof line extends, and then it's open. So when the smoke goes up, it doesn't get stuck. It doesn't get stuck in the peak of the roof. It exits throughout the top, and there's really pretty buildings, and yeah, just really, like I said, really inspirational people out there that are willing to help. So
cool, right on. Is that Hughes? Hughes? Like
yes.
Spelled the
yep.
same way.
And if you right, if you're gonna like if you're gonna tag him in the podcast or anything, the other thing, his business is called Big Beams Timber Frames. So.
Big Beams.
But he's yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff going, and it's just again another awesome person to be able to shoot a text to or make a phone call and. Hey, what do you think about this, or what's your thoughts on this? And
nice. Yeah, right on. That's awesome. Going back to Jim, yeah, he when we were working on the timber frame, he kind of on Saturday came up and was like, "Hey, you know, I'm Jim. I'm James or Jim from the Tradesman Channel." And he and I have been kind of following each other for a while, you know. So I was like, "Oh, cool, Jim. What's going on?" You know, that was another person. Yeah, you're just like in the middle of working, and then you realize this person you're working next to is someone that you know and respect and have been following, and you see the things they're doing. Like, oh, cool. And we ended up hanging out with Jim quite a bit throughout the weekend because he was like, well, I know you guys and, you know, can I hang out with you guys? And we're like, sure, of course. So he ended up staying the extra night, you know, camped out in the field in his truck and drank a bunch with us. And yeah, it was fun. Yeah
he had a good time. He had a good time. It was awesome meeting him. And I was, and you know, and it's awesome having, for like me, having somebody like him there because, you know, I could right. say, hey, can you go take this on? And just, I could forget about it, you know?
Right.
You know,
yep.
it's
right.
awesome having somebody there like that, that you know it's going to get taken care of, so.
Right, yeah.
So, that's cool. Yeah, if this doesn't sell people to for the Maker Camp, then nothing will. We've talked about it for
right.
two podcasts.
You're welcome,
We promise
Austin.
We won't talk about it until...
yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
You're gonna have a lot more people next year, or at least we're gonna bring an extra 20 people.
A lot more O'Hara's, anyways.
Yeah, we got a whole exactly. we got a whole clan of people coming up. So
cool. All right, well, Justin, thank you so much, man. It's a blast to chat with you, and you're our second returning guest. We had Sean Porter, who's from Crafting Life. He was our first returning guest, and that was kind of a last minute like. Devin can't be on the podcast, and so I asked Sean if he could join me. So we really appreciate you coming back and chatting.
Awesome.
It's fun, and it's always fun to. I like the idea of talking to someone that you know a little bit better. You know, that's it's always
yeah,
nice to be able to
absolutely.
Have people on the podcast and chat with them. But you know, after you chat with us once for an hour and a half, then you already feel like you know us. Now that we have you back, so it's nice to be able to come back and chat.
Yeah,
with
we
you
got
maybe
I mean,
maybe that's
we got to know
yeah, maybe
each
that's
other
the
pretty
new,
well last
maybe
weekend.
That's the new rule we got.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Exactly. Maybe we got to meet someone once, and then we'll have them on again once we've met them.
Right.
And then spent a few days doing something, then we'll have people on again and talk to them again.
Yeah, right. I like it. Nice. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, also for listening. Please make sure you go over and check out Justin. Justin, give everybody, let the listeners know where they can find you.
I'm primarily on Instagram, jdietrich76. You can also follow the school.
One more.
What's that?
I was going to say we want more YouTube videos. Or yes, I do, personally.
I know. I know. I'm trying to get there. But yeah, I am on YouTube. I think I'm almost up to 1,000 subs, if that means anything.
Hey, nice.
I mean, I haven't posted a video in like 4 months. But yeah, that I would, that would probably be a goal of mine for 2022, is I do want to consistently post more. I have a big project upcoming that I want to document well, and so I'm hoping that I can get everything like set up to do it, to document it well, and so hopefully that will be a 2022 project for me for next spring, summer, fall.
Right on. Sweet. Yeah. If I'm imagining where Devin's coming from, it's always nice to see people do things, and you know those people, and you kind of, you get the feeling of what they do, and you're a little bit more intimate with them when they do some things. So we like to see people that we like putting more things up on YouTube, because it's fun to watch. It's fun to see your boys like helping you out and stuff. Right. And you know, that's always, it's great to, you know,
be
part of someone's life.
I just like to consume stuff on my TV sitting back in my chair. So,
right. Awesome.
All right.
Well, good stuff.
So
guys,
go check out. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Check out Justin on Instagram and go see him on YouTube. We'll give him some extra followers and some extra subscribers on YouTube. Go over and find us on YouTube, which is where we want everyone to go and see the things we're making. We will be putting up the video of the Maker Camp, kind of an overview of it all, shot all on the GoPro for the first time, so we'll see how that feels.
Ooh.
But yeah, that'll be coming up soon, so check that out. And then you can also follow Devin and I both on Instagram, at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And please, if you feel so inclined, if you want to support us any other way, you can go over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there. That makes a huge difference. And it's, again, very humbling to know that people are out there that want to support us. So, and we appreciate that immensely.
Yeah. Any final words, Justin?
No, I just want to say, guys, I'd really do enjoy coming on here and talking to you guys. And I can't remember exactly when I started following you guys, maybe about a year and a half ago. I found you on YouTube first. And then from there, I think you just started your, I remember you posting that you were going to start a podcast, and I just really appreciate, your, both of your commitment to putting out high quality content and the way that you bring it on, and just how you guys, you know, Devin, you do, you know, the camera work and editing so well, and that's your thing. And like, and it comes through in your videos. Thank you. And, you know, Dustin, the way that you, you know, you're, maybe the reason why we connect is because we're teachers. And so I can kind of like pick up on some of your teacher cues or whatever, but you know, you just do an awesome job on explaining what you're doing and going through those things, and you're both passionate about it, and I think it's awesome. So I you guys are very genuine, and that comes through on the camera. So I definitely appreciate that about what you do.
Well, thank you for that. And I wasn't, by final words, I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but we will take it.
I'll throw
anything
you
else you want to say about
before
it.
All right, any other compliments you want to say before we go? Throw them in.
All right, I see what he's going for here. Right, all right, I'll track, throw him a bone.
No, I think what you're saying too. That was the one last thing I'd like to say, is that it was really nice meeting people who we've only ever predominantly seen on social media, and how so many, the majority of the people I met came across in person the same way they do. Right. I mean, most people don't do a ton of like stuff behind the camera. You know, I know a lot of people through Instagram, but really even that, you kind of, I think a lot of people come through and even their comments and what they say about their work, you know, and then you get to meet them and you're like, oh, these are cool people. Like, I thought you would be a cool person, and you do turn out to be a cool person. You're like, you're a real person. That's a real guy.
Right.
That was fun.
There you go. Exactly.
All right, everybody. Well, that's a wrap on Maker Camp 2021, at least in our podcast. We will only bring it up probably another 100 times before next year. Can't promise anything. But I hope you guys all join us next year. I know, Justin, you have some cool things in the works, and I know you've been talking with Jim a little bit. He's given me a little bit of behind the scenes as he's coming up with some ideas for things for next year. So, right. If you're listening and you want to be a part of that, keep your ears to the grindstone and follow Justin and follow us to see what will happen next year at Maker Camp.
For sure.
All right. Devin, Justin, it was a blast.
Yep.
And everybody
thank
else.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.